Welcome, friends, to the God, Friend, and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everybody. Here today to talk to you about the pilot episode of God, Friend, and Me, which has now aired over the internet and various social media platforms.
And indeed, Pete, a novel way to do it, a nice way to kind of get some pre-buzz. I'm sure that the show is still counting on people watching the show, discovering the show Sunday, September 30th at 8:30 p.m. on CBS. But I thought this was a good use of sending it across all the social medias, a show about social media, to get that message out there. And of course, also directing people to the CBS website and something that we're a little familiar with, the All Access behemoth.
The All Access type of experience. I would not completely throw this on All Access and the issues we've had there with Star Trek Discovery, but similar in that if you pause the screen, it immediately minimizes to the bottom corner. And then if you don't click on it, then soon enough, it actually forces you to restart. But you can find your spot after that.
There also was the standard All Access kind of fragmented rollout. I had the experience of first it hit the website, then the apps. I wanted to watch on the Apple TV app. End up watching on the website. Pete, yours was the opposite experience?
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter first, and it was actually already in progress and no ability to back it up. And then went to Facebook, and it was about a half second behind the Twitter feed. Same experience, could not back it up and did not want to miss any of it. This was as I was trying to refresh on CBS.com so that it would pop up on the God Friended Me page there and I could watch it. I mean, we're familiar from Star Trek Discovery, typically during their season on a Sunday, same night as God Friended Me, when we would be, you know, anxiously waiting to catch that episode. Though they were supposed to go up at 8:30, they would almost routinely go up about 25 minutes, a half hour early. And Matt and I would be sitting and refreshing the laptops somewhere and then text the other one, "Oh, it's up," boom, on there. And it would be routine in that one of us would have it, but the other one would not.
Bottom line, now that we're, at least for this episode, dipping our toe back in the CBS All Access pool, let's just recognize that this is not a good user experience online. That is, of course, separate from the episode we're about to discuss. And it's a shame that the one kind of got in the way a little bit of the other. But, Pete, we can put All Access behind us now. It's not going to hurt us anymore for God Friended Me.
It's not. And I want to say, too, that this was not a novel experience in that we've had rollouts of pilots before over social media a month early, but a really cute branding of it, given that the show deals so heavily with that.
Absolutely. I think it's one of these things where you say, hey, you know, we, I mean, maybe not, you know, God Friended Me as a show, but, you know, we as CBS or we as a television industry, we've put stuff out there on social media before. Wait a minute, the show deals with social media. So it's kind of like a win-win combination, made a ton of sense. I think it's smart too. It's a smart way to cut through the buzz of all those shows premiering in September and October to kind of get that early thing of, oh, I've seen it, you should check it out too. Check it out online, or if you're not cool with that, not savvy with that or whatever, you know, show up Sunday, September 30th at 8:30.
Yeah, we topped 500 scripted offerings for the first time ever in TV history last year. And there's that need to differentiate and make your own space. And, you know, you still see here and there, there's shows available early before their actual premiere. And I thought one of the interesting things you could do with Twitter and Facebook is you could tell how many people were watching at the time. As of this time, Matt, it is still available. We're recording on Saturday morning, September 1st. So you can go to CBS.com and click on God Friended Me and go to the page and watch it from the beginning and be able to pause it. It's no longer available where I saw it on Instagram. It's still available on Twitter.
Well, certainly plenty of places to see it. Well, Pete, let's start to now properly talk about a show that involves a podcaster, kind of like me, and a journalist, kind of like you. We kid, of course, Pete, but where should we get things rolling here?
Let's take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode. Podcaster Miles Finer is at a crossroads. He thinks his podcast is connecting and helping people, but is it?
Miles gets a Facebook friend request from God, which after refusing a few times, he accepts, and John Dove is suggested, who he immediately runs into on the street, then stops from stepping in front of a subway train.
Miles gets another friend request, this time from Kara Bloom, a journalist who used to top the trending stories board at her publication, Catapult, but has been stuck in a rut of writer's block for 6 weeks.
Miles' computer-savvy co-worker Rakesh helps dig into John Dove and Kara Bloom's backgrounds, leading to Miles confronting Kara. She's decidedly not behind the God account, and they go on a God goose chase in Jersey.
Jersey, baby! Miles' computer pulls up a photo of his deceased mom, her doctor, and nurse, who just happens to be Kara's mom.
Kara confronts her mother in the park. Mom offers some reason as to why she left, but Kara runs out of the park and into the path of a car, which strikes her.
Who's two cars behind? But John Dove, Dr. Dove, that is. He gets Kara breathing and off to the hospital. Kara will be all right and starts to mend fences with her mother and learn about her little sister, Liv.
The story concludes with Miles podcasting. Whoever this God is has showed we're all connected and to have an open mind. Kara's story is number one on the site. Dove is doctoring. Rakesh is dating. And Miles is at the park with Dad playing chess.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
Well, Pete, first theory here, I guess the biggest one of all, is this God, or I guess more pertinent to the show, how deeply will the show explore the notion as to whether this is God or not?
Well, they've been very upfront, the producers, Stephen Lillian and Brian Winbrandt, the showrunners, that this is not a religious show in that it's not going to be pushing a particular spirituality. And I definitely appreciate that. I appreciate that as somebody who, you know, goes to church often, that it's not going to go to that. And again, that they're going to present a story that is interconnected, that references faith, but is not specifically about faith. I think the bigger question, in terms of, you know, who's running the God account. Obviously, that's our central mystery. The shot in the dark that our character has already taken is this Dad. His sister, Miles' sister, tells him, well, he can't even run Netflix. Was that too convenient in that it's not Dad? I don't think so. I think you have to address the elephant in the room. It's not him. And we have that wonderful reunion at the end of the episode. At least they're now on speaking terms back in the setting in which they once were in playing in the park there. So, yeah, we've got another name now. We know that the show's been picked up. You know, who is Katie Brooks and how much closer is she going to lead us to who's running the God account when that next episode premieres in October?
I think certainly, of course, it's the job of every pilot to do world building. This pilot is perhaps aided a bit by the fact that very clearly this is meant to be our world, just with the, you know, the conceit of the fiction of it, you know, of Miles' story that we're seeing. Nonetheless, this is a pilot that has to establish who these people are, how they're connected, so on and so forth. I certainly do not expect, oh man, Pete, it's the Christmas time reveal. Dad's behind it all at the computer. Like, no, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. And when the sister says, Dad can't even work his Netflix account, I think that's the show just very clearly saying, you know, put away your Sherlock Holmes Deerstalker hat and your magnifying glass. That's not this show where we're going to find out who's behind it all. You know, instead, we're just establishing it's not Dad, even though Dad might be likely. Do you understand that home? Understand that at home, everyone? Great. Now let's move on to the story that we want to tell.
And I think viewers will appreciate that. You know, God in fiction, we can cite all sorts of examples. The one that my mind instantly goes to is Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, which is frequently referred to as the one where they go looking for God. And of course, you're never going to satisfy that in a way definitively that everyone's going to be happy with. Storytelling is about the journey. It's not necessarily about the destination. And I think they've already established enough of the computer foo that the God account is doing that it could be both technical and mystical.
I think too, fitting into to all that you're saying, the kind of the multi-religious take of the show, I mean, it can't be made any more clear than opening with Rabbi Zoe Schwartz talking to Miles, who is of a, you know, who has lapsed faith, but who grew up in a Protestant background, get Rakesh later and his perspective of the world. You know, the show in that world building and in that defining what it is and what it isn't, they're making it very, very clear that A, this is meant to be our world, again, with just this little, you know, we're seeing the fictional Miles story, but everything else works the way our world does. And just like in our real world, you have different religious perspectives. And it's this novel conceit of that Facebook friend account and just that little push in a particular direction here or there. It kind of adds to that, that, you know, not a particular religion. I don't want to say anti-religious, but, you know, it adds to that just, you know, multi-faith perspective of, hey, maybe just reach out to this one person you didn't know and see what effect there is on their lives.
And I think that comes courtesy of the different perspectives of our showrunners. I happened to catch them on the Writers Panel podcast with Ben Blacker within the last week, and they were on talking about the show. And it was interesting in the Brian Winbrandt, who is from Ohio, he talked about religion through the prism of being a Cleveland Cavaliers fan and watching Michael Jordan beat them at the buzzer. And that has become part, or became part of their pitch when they went out. You know, that's how he sees God, that things get taken away. And then Stephen Lillian, who is a Mets fan like myself, talked about the 86 series and the ball going through Bill Buckner, the Red Sox first baseman's legs, hit by Mookie Wilson, who my dad delivered his children in Lakewood, New Jersey. And that's how I became a Mets fan. So, you know, even more of that interconnectivity going on here, Matt. But we've got a believer and somebody who's had things snatched away from them at by the hands of a higher power, if one exists. So there's that balance going on there too, which I think comes across in the product.
Well, Pete, what theory is on your radar?
To the God account, or more to that central mystery. Rakesh does mention predictive analytics, specifically AI, artificial intelligence, if you're not familiar with the acronym there. I found that really interesting. Amazon, Netflix, very big on these. Amazon is known for shipping things to distribution centers before you order them, you know, looking at your patterns, your habits, whether it's putting in a cart and forgetting you have it, and they happen to move it to the Long Island distribution center, and what do you know, 3 weeks later you order it, or just looking over what you've got on your wish list, or you know what you've been clicking on and doing that. They are frightfully efficient. What do you think about that, Matt? Because he mentioned it specifically with looking at John Dove's social media profile and the prediction that he might commit suicide.
Well, I think that certainly some of those kind of safety areas, that's probably where we're headed in terms of social media or things in that realm. I think in a larger sense, or perhaps even a smaller sense, depending on which direction you want to go, but certainly from a show sense, I'll echo what you said before. It's about the journey, not the destination. And for Rakesh to try and put this God account in a technological context, that's one way to view it, and that's one way to rationalize it. And I think that's very possible. Again, I'm kind of hedging my words here a bit because I don't think we are headed towards the grand reveal at any point of who's behind the God account. I could be completely wrong. I frequently am. But I think, Pete, of another CBS property, I think of Magnum PI, you know, it's not about finding out who's that voice behind things. I know Magnum had plans to reveal that at one point and so on and so forth, but I digress. It's about that force that's helping direct the main character, help direct the story. And I like that there's kind of this rationalization. Oh, maybe these godly powers, maybe it is something we don't quite understand. Maybe it is this AI analytic where an app has programmed an app to program an app and we don't quite understand how it works, which is a real thing. We don't always understand the technology behind the things that power our lives. But Rakesh tries to rationalize it one way, you know, then there's a faith perspective and there's an agnostic perspective and so forth.
To Kara's story in this pilot episode, Matt, some interesting things crop up there with her mother. She mentions to Miles that her mother actually did come back home to her in Ohio. I wonder where our showrunners, why they chose to go there, given their backgrounds with Winbrandt. But when that happened, Kara's mother told Kara she was sober and then she left again. Is sober code for pregnant?
I'm going to say no. I think that maybe the mother, Kara's mother, I think, here's my take just on, you know, the little that we saw of her in this episode, that, you know, she was at a wobbly place in life and walked away from her family to get settled, got settled. I think there's story potential to explore that in the future. What does it mean to get settled but not go back to that badness, including the goodness of your child, but then got settled with a new life and her daughter Liv and whatever that might portend for the future. Bottom line is, it's a good subplot or B story or whatever label you like to put on it. It's good, it's compelling, it's sympathetic. And I think it's a great example of the conceit of this show where, yes, we're going to have some of these discussions with a rabbi and a preacher and so forth, but we're also just going to get down to this kind of really pathos-inducing story. You know, again, maybe not as the main focus, but this pathos-inducing story of a mom who left one family, got settled, started another family. It's rife with dramatic conflict and dramatic exploration, acting potential, and I think it shows a certain balance that this show can have moving forward.
Kara had seen her mother, she admits, on the subway 6 weeks earlier, thus starting off that writer's block. But she said she froze. So the thesis again, grand design or coincidence, Matt?
Well, that's the debate we're supposed to have, right? I think, is it possible to run into an estranged family member on the subway in New York City? Sure, that's completely believable. If there's a grand design element, it's not in the two paths crossings. I think that, you know, that probably happens all the time. We all have stories of things like that, perhaps not the mother who abandoned us showing up on the subway and so forth, but we all have stories like that. But it's the push by Miles, then Miles, of course, given the push by the God account. But all of this just being a gentle nudging for Kara and her mother to reconnect. And it's a sweet ending there where the family is starting to come together, the new family of Kara's mother, Kara, and Liv getting the proper introduction. And you kind of see the fruits of the labors. One more thing I just wanted to add. It's not exactly a theory, but certainly the show gives us the flavor by the end of the episode that we're going to get, yes, a serial story overall, but we're going to, you know, we're going to get a new character a week. We're going to get a new friend
case
request
of the week.
Case of the week. And look, I love me some serial, true serial TV. I love the 10-part, 13-part, 20-part movie where you need to be taking notes and keeping track of everything. But it kind of was this moment at the end where it's like, huh, ongoing, growing, changing characters in weekly stories. Like, it's a relief. Welcome back. These characters can continue to grow. I don't expect a total reset, you know, of old where it's a new case at the detective agency each week and nobody's different at CSI HQ or whatever it might be. But it's like, hey, these characters are going to move through these weekly stories. Welcome back, weekly stories.
Yeah, I think it has enough of a procedural idea in that what's going to happen? There's going to be a friend request every episode. He's going to accept it. They're going to look for this person or bump into this person, as in the case of John Dove. And all the while, Kara's going to be there to help with her journalistic skills to track down who's running the God account. What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, some great reaction online, particularly I'm looking at Twitter. There's Elaine O'Connor that says, this episode gives Knocked It Out of the Ballpark new meaning. Thank you for making the effort to tell this story. Edward Sanchez says, oh my God, I love this show. It's lowercase g, Pete, so I'm assuming he's being somewhat reverential there. There's also a tweet from Denise R. Fairley, I liked it, all in capital letters. And one more from Patty that says, this was really good. So some really great, great reaction there.
In listening to, again, the showrunners being interviewed the other day, I found it was interesting. They actually sold this at NBC as well. And they were presented with the choice and they went with CBS. And one of the things that was different than what they did when they had done Alcatraz and some of their other work in the past is the first time they went out on a pitch with a director attached. And that's the director of the pilot episode and also the second episode. That's Marcos Siega, who grew up, Matt, as an atheist. And digging into Marcos Siega's IMDb, ironically, he did Kevin Bacon's The Following. Do you remember The Following on Fox, Matt?
Pete, The Following is the show that Dunn killed Alcatraz because Fox was torn between second season of Alcatraz or second season of The Following, decided to go with the Bacon because he was a bigger star or whatever, and it then quickly didn't do well and certainly did not warrant a third season. I think it was basically, with all due respect to all the whatever Kevin Bacon show that was, fans out there, I think it, as I recall, ratings-wise, it quickly kind of plummeted in the second season. Alas, Pete, alas. One more bit of feedback I want to share. That's from our pal Jeff on Twitter. That's at JJ Nato. He said, I haven't watched this show yet, but your post-pilot afterglow reminds me of how I felt after Pushing Daisies. So, Pete, the word getting out there, hey, it's a good show. It puts a smile on your face. It's a really great setup for the series to come. And if you haven't watched it yet, JJ and everybody else, check it out.
To Facebook, Matt, where several people have commented here, Jennifer Watkins writes in, cannot wait to see this show. And Trudy Simo says, looks like an awesome show. Can't wait to see.
Well, all certainly true there, Pete. Let's talk the schedule ahead. You know, it's now September. We have those 30 days or so until the broadcast premiere of God, Friend, and Me. What will we be talking about in the interim?
Well, Matt, beginning Friday, September 7th, we're back on the Iron Fist podcast by Fantastic Geek. We'll be bringing you that first episode on Friday, and then we'll be meeting out the remaining 12 of the season throughout the month of September and into early October, amongst other things.
Indeed, we, of course, have New York Comic Con, which we'll be visiting and podcasting from that in early October. And, of course, weekly episodes of the God, Friend, and Me podcast. I'm sure we'll touch base after the pilot airs on CBS. And then, of course, weekly episodes from there. Probably looking, Pete, you know, midweek to drop those episodes. Take a little time for reflection, for making of the theories, for double-checking of the analytic AIs, etc. And we have a great road ahead of us.
Yes, Sunday, October 7th will be that second episode. We'll see them at their normal hour, which is going to be 8 p.m. right after 60 Minutes.
Well, Pete, all of this is made possible by our patrons on patreon.com/fantasticgeek. They keep the bleeps and the bloops continuing to happen. You know, unlike Miles, Pete, we have some costs to worry about. We don't have what's-his-name from Sirius ready to come down from on high to help us out, but we are always appreciative to be listener-supported Fantastic Geek.
Absolutely. Every little bit helps, and between bandwidth and all the other costs associated with the backlog of 15 feeds worth of podcasts that we now have, definitely something that we could always use that help with. So thank you again.
As you watch the pilot of God, Friend, and Me, whether it's online or if you're hearing this a little bit later on after watching the broadcast premiere, what did you think of it? Certainly let us know. Pete, how can people be in touch with you?
You can be in touch with me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R, J, Ketelaar, K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 9,955 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I am personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with us. Leave a comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with the PH, all one word. If you're going to interact with God on Facebook, why not us too?
Well, Pete, definitely looking forward to continuing to populate our pop culture podcast feed, not just with God, Friend, and Me, but as you mentioned, with Iron Fist and some other geeky goodness in the future. To those listening on the God, Friend, and Me feed, we will certainly be back this month to talk more about this this charming and uplifting series. With that, Pete, I will say namaste to all our listeners and give you the final word.
Vaya con Dios.